Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Hey, Brad.
What's up, Adam?
Oh, dude, you know, just feeling real chill.
You look good, you feel good.
Oh, and when you look good and you feel good, you pod good.
Darn right. And what's the best way that we can pod good?
Put Koi CBD in your body.
It's so great. I'm so glad that these guys jumped on as the sponsors. CBD oil is the hottest thing in health right now. You watch the news. Every day there's a new study about how good this stuff is.
Oh, yeah.
And the benefits of it.
We're one press conference away from Trump being like, this is why my cheeseburgers taste so good. They've got Koi CBD oil in them. CBD, if you don't know what it is, it's not weed. That's a big misconception. It's an oil derived from an industrial hemp plant that has no psychoactive effects, so you get the medical benefits from the hemp plant without getting the high, man. It's a great natural alternative to over-the-counter and pharmaceutical drugs. Now, there's a lot of uses for CBD oil.
Absolutely.
Creams, tinctures, vapes, gummies, which Koi all provides. I fuck with the gummies every morning because it starts my day off with a very relaxed, chill, meditative. I just feel dialed in. There's got to be something in these gummies that also, you know, gives your brain an extra level of coherentness. Is that the word?
Well, because you probably
took it makes you make up words.
You took a gummy before you said that. That's for sure. And I do the same thing, but I have the oils. I just take the CBD oil. I put it in my tea, and then I'm good to go for
You're
the rest
a tea guy
of the day.
Now. Is that from being married?
I mean, I don't know what it is.
Tea is great, though.
I'm a tea guy because it makes me feel good. And CBD oil, Koi CBD oil, makes me feel even better. They got all sorts of flavors. They got
the flavors?
They got peppermint. They got lemon lime. They got blue raspberry. They got all these different things.
They are the fruity pebbles of CBD oil. People use it, too, for pain, anxiety, inflammation. My mom uses the Koi topical creams for arthritis. And she straight up told me, she's like, I don't hurt like I hurt before.
That's a great slogan.
And I'm like, that is so honest and real, and that's coming from a Jewish mom. Yeah. And as you said, they don't lie.
This stuff works so well, I'm scared to rub the lotion on me because I think it might cure my dwarfism. And then what the fuck am I going to joke about?
Well, Koi CBD, all these products are manufactured in the USA with 100% natural CBD oil. It's the best tasting product on the market, as we've attested to the flavors. We've tried a bunch. People have come to us all the time trying to be like, yo, can we sponsor? We haven't found the one we've liked until now. And they're America's number one trusted CBD brand. All the products are THC free. And it's a family-owned and operated company. And if you want to fuck with Koi, which you should because we do, and we can't talk about how much we love their products enough, the gummies, the tinctures, the creams, the tinctures, the drops. Dude, I put a couple drops in before I go to bed. And it also makes it easier to drink coffee because coffee gives me a little bit of anxiety.
Yep.
Now it calms me down. So I love that. If you want it, go to KoiCBD.com right now. Put in promo code AboutLastNight, all one word, all caps, for 20% off any retail order from the website. KoiCBD.com, promo code about last night for 20% off the order. Start feeling good, start living good, start looking good, start dwarfing good.
Start dwarfing good.
The official dwarf sponsor.
Koi is the official CBD sponsor of dwarves. Can I say that? I'm pretty sure.
You've got proof.
I'm a dwarf. I'll bring it up at the next meeting.
And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Hey guys, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you like the new theme song, Trying It Out. We love it. Shout out to my boy, Carrie, for putting that together. Fucking incredible. Carrie is just the man. Carrie Baines, if you want to know who did that track. Pretty fly, as the kids say. You know, just felt like turning over a new leaf, starting a new chapter. We're coming at you with a bunch of new episodes that are going to be coming from a new studio at my my new condo that I bought. So just wanted to kind of get a new, fresh start to this new era of the About Last Night podcast. So shout out to Carrie Baines, killer theme, and for a killer episode. Today's episode, holy shit, you know him from Conan. You know him from his show Up and Up that he does monthly at the Dynasty Theater here in L.A., he just booked a pilot that got picked up for a series with Cal Penn on NBC called Sunnyside. He's one of the funniest and, as we found out, most fascinating dudes that I've ever met in Hollywood. His story is insane. I don't want to give it away, but he's as funny, as kind, as he is intriguing. And his name is Moses Storm. and he's the fucking man. Moses and I have gotten to know each other a minute, Just for Laughs, I think, and then we done some shows around town together, and he's just salt of the earth and just a very sharp, funny ass dude. So enjoy the hell out of this episode and follow Moses on all social medias at Moses Storm. Follow me at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast. This week, big week for me. I'm coming home to Seattle. Big show at the Triple Door in downtown Seattle, 8 p.m. There's a handful of tickets left, so get them and come party. I've got about 50 minutes of new material since last time I was there, which was about a year ago, and I'm pretty pumped on it. Of course, my album Read the Room dropped. None of the material that you're going to hear Friday is on that album. So get the album, listen to it, and then come here a whole new hour Friday at 8 p.m. in Seattle, Washington at the Triple Door in downtown Seattle. Cannot wait. Hometown shows are always so fun. And then where else? And then June is kind of open until June 21st and 22nd. I'm at Wise Guys in Utah. So come see me there. And then tons of local shows in Los Angeles, AdamRayComedy.com for all my tour dates. Brad, this Friday and Saturday and Sunday, he'll be in Dallas at the Addison Improv. Tickets at BradWilliamsComedy.com. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for past and present eps. ShopAdamRay.com for all your Adam Ray merch. Read the Room, like I said. My album is out right now on Amazon, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. Go pick that up. And fuck, we got so many great eps coming up. So make sure you subscribed. Make sure you tell your friends, your family. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Comment on the iTunes page, and just share the pod with someone new. Brighten their day. Tell them to go back and listen to all the great eps that we've done, and tell them to get excited for the new eps we got coming out. And of course, email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com with a chance to be fan of the week and win some free ALN merch. All right, now that we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, and the new theme, shout out Carrie Baines, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the hilarious Moses Storm.
Well, the weekend's over and it's time to chat about it.
It's time to chat about it.
Got a midget and a juice, so why don't you sit down? And
so why don't you sit down? And
listen to our dope podcast. Whether lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of day. So
come over and treat yourself right. It's about last night. Come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night. Oh, come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Dude, actually, you know what? I got fancier waters. You want one?
No, this is fine.
We're getting ready to move.
We didn't want to hurt the instrument. So, you know, if you have cold, you know, water.
Is that bad for you?
It hurts the instrument. You know.
What does?
Cold water. You're not supposed cold to have water. Cold water.
Supposed to have room temp. That's what Mariah Carey does. And I.
Jesus.
And you model, she's fine.
I take all my choices from
WWMC.
The amount of times that Brad gets called out online for, like, hey, that's Mariah Carey's song. You're doing that as a joke. It's really embarrassing.
Is there somebody in Moses Storm's life that you model, that you have looked up to in life and the entertainment business?
Yes, Conan was one, which is a very obvious
was
one.
Was it? Really?
Yeah.
Prior to all this Conan experience?
Prior to all that, yeah.
It would be very convenient. Dude, that's even cooler.
Yes.
He's my guy. And I'm sure we share the same infatuation with through the years of everything.
Right.
Everything that embodies Conan. So to be that close with him now, that's crazy.
It is insane and a little bit scary on his end. Like if he truly gets to know who you are, what it meant to me, it would be like that woman that wore diapers and drove across the country.
Yeah. Well, that's why you never let it get too real, right?
Yeah.
There probably is value in keeping some distance with somebody at that stature that you're that close with, no?
Sure, and he definitely keeps a healthy distance with me.
he only communicates through an assistant.
Right.
Through
Telegram.
Absolutely.
Several
carrier pigeons.
Who's very nice. But no, I've never had like dinner at his house or like sat by a fireplace.
I bet that'll happen. The fireplace, for sure.
Had a dinner that was in public.
Cool.
Yeah.
Public dens are a slow ease into the friendship.
That's him announcing to the world that he's okay being seen with you.
Yeah.
You're not that cheap tramp that he keeps in a motel room.
Right? Have you ever been with a girl that was like, hey,
we
shouldn't tell anyone that we're together? Because I have.
Yep. It's always a nice boost to the ego.
Yeah,
like,
right?
Hey, if you could not pick me up at work, but like around the corner. Right.
You're like, but I want to tell everybody Meryl Streep.
Like you're her dad.
Yeah. What do you think Meryl Streep's doing right now?
It is, because they pitch it like it's this hot thing of like, hey, maybe let's not tell anyone.
Yeah, don't, yeah.
So you're like, oh, maybe. Oh, and then you're an idiot. And then you're like,
It's been a year and a half. Can I like meet anyone in your life?
Right.
No.
My friends think I'm a liar.
Yeah, don't tell anyone about us except for the doctor when he asks you, where'd you get that from?
Right.
Yeah.
That's it.
She wants people to know she got
She's
that
a
from?
Fucked up girl, dude, with a sweet past.
Conan's that guy, too, for me, where it's like, I have complete respect for guys that are Harvard funny.
Yeah,
and he's literal Harvard funny where he went there, you know, and he like those guys that like your Colin Jost's and your Conan O'Brien's and people and your John Mulaney's, like people that can that see jokes as a math problem and not like.
Right.
Like, because I run up on stage and I scream about my life like an idiot.
Yeah.
And these guys are like, no, I'm going to systematically make you laugh. That blows my mind.
Right. And they've had like pretty good lives. So there's no truth to like that. You need to be fucked up to have. Yeah. So they're just like, you know, genuinely smart people. They figured out the formula and they can do it. And I think, I mean, at least what Conan has told me about Harvard, he's like, that was nothing. I got there and there were so many idiots that were there.
Oh, for really? Well,
yeah. It's not he worked his ass off to get there, but once you're there, it's just like, oh. Yeah, I mean, we know plenty of people that are doing well in comedy that are like, what?
Yeah.
That guy? Oh, yeah. I'll name
two
names.
Two of them are right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
But he said what it is it's the work ethic. It's that when you're at that level, you're operating to get there, you've worked very hard, and then everyone's working very hard around you. So you're Colin Jost and you're Mike Schurz and everyone else that's...
And pretty much everyone at National Lampoon. Like when the whole Lampoon thing started, like that's a level of funny that I don't have, and I respect the hell out of guys that do.
Yeah.
When did Conan ask you to go on tour?
After the set went well on the show / the internet,
right?
They went well on the internet,
and you got involved with him because you and Chris Redd did.
Yeah.
The Comic-Con, was that where it started?
That's where it started. Chris Redd and I were hosting a sparsely attended show at Meltdown because one of my other co-hosts who I was hosting with, you know, quit to be, you know, just like an actor.
Yeah.
And didn't want to be a host. So then I asked Chris, who I had just did a failed pilot with, and immediately we hit it off on stage.
Yeah.
And it was something that's like... I mean, have you guys performed together before?
Oh, yeah. You know, we do the live podcast and just, I mean, when you have that unspoken, I mean, the first one of these we did, we were like, oh, yeah, we should probably stick with this because
it is feels good.
Rare when you have an instant back and forth to where you're like, oh, we're definitely going to just allow each other to do our thing and jump in when we need to and always have the other person's back, which is a rarity. And you have to recognize that, right?
Yes, because we've all been on stage with like these shows where they like two people do stand-up, we do couples therapy, or it's just like a panel and everyone's just trying to get their joke out.
Yeah, man.
Win.
Yeah. Being selfless and wanting other people to win on stage is like a pretty sweet gift. And I could tell that in you pretty early in just seeing you guys do that. And seeing you on stage too, man, it's like there's an energy that you have that I think that I understand why Conan gravitates towards you too, because it's like you guys both live in this like silly world, but like real smart stuff, and like, but you're not trying to, you know, go over somebody's head, but you're not spoon feeding it either. Does that make
sense?
Right.
It's not like, here's what happened in Benghazi and here's the truth facts. It's not like this.
Well, I would like to hear what happened in Benghazi from you.
Know,
but from a humorous take. Make me laugh about it.
Could you do silly voices instead of the machine guns? Whoa, I'm just a machine gun. Then I can tune in.
Sure.
So Chris Redd and I were doing pretty well at that show and we felt really good about it because we both started in improv. So we both have that make the other person look good first.
Yeah.
In us. And then JP, who books Conan, does nothing to do with Conan, asked us to do this thing, this pre-show that was more of an AT&T thing than a Conan thing.
Right.
Just this giant company. And it'd be on the roof where Conan's doing a show, and then they were like, hey, great news. Conan's going to stop by for 2 minutes and get, and just say like, hey, what up, guys? I'm going to throw it over to Moses and Chris.
Yeah, just to throw his name on it a little bit.
Yeah.
Which was big time.
To sign us off. But then he went up there, and mainly Chris was like, you know, roasting him pretty hard, and which he loves more than anything.
He digs that, right?
Yeah, he just likes riffing.
Yeah.
Like anyone.
Well, that, and I'm sure that when you're in a position that he's in, you have so many people like sort of and people afraid to make fun of the king, you know, whatever.
Right.
So like it's nice to have
rich guys like to be taken down a peg.
Yeah.
Right? It makes them feel normal because everyone else, like, he's literally on the street in San Diego at this theater. People are screaming for autographs and people are in literal tears saying how much they mean to him, and then he comes up there and it's just me and Chris just trying to get jokes off.
Yeah.
So then he kept, so then that was the day one and we had six of those shows, and then he kept coming up there every single day. They're like, hey, he's gonna come up again tomorrow, and he would come up there and he'd do 25 minutes with us.
And it was supposed to be 2 minutes.
It was supposed to be 2 minutes.
Whoa.
One time, 2 minutes.
That's
being like,
hey,
thank you to AT&T and there you go. And then so then I was like, oh, this is very cool, and I was happy to end it there. And then
would you and Chris talk about too, like, oh shit, man, he stayed like way longer, like that's a good sign, like we need to be even more on top of it tomorrow, to, because now you almost feel like you're auditioning in front of him, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I was like pre-writing stuff, and I was trying to get Chris to go over it.
Yeah,
Chris,
dude,
in the next room, just blaring music. I'm like, hey man, so like, I tee you up for this joke.
Yeah,
he's like, hey man, it's gonna be fine. And he went up there and he was completely fine.
Of course, dude. So smart.
So then we really wrote, and then that's how I got essentially offered to do the show. Like, hey, yeah, you should do the show sometime.
Awesome.
And they're like, yes, I should do the show sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you,
yes,
Conan O'Brien.
You.
And then that went great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that went surprisingly well. And I had no time to ever run that set.
Why?
Really?
At the time, I was working on a teen drama in Utah.
Holy shit. Yeah. The true Hollywood dream.
Yes.
Wait a minute. What teen Utah drama?
Very serious YouTube Red.
Mormon Dawson's Creek? What was this?
Dawson's Creek?
Yeah.
Dawson's Creek pretty holds up to the Mormon standard.
It does. I don't even think they fingered each other on Dawson's Creek.
Did we? But we never saw Wet Fingies.
We never saw Wet Fingies, which was a spinoff. You did on the spinoff.
Josh never pulled it out to be like, hey, Wet Fingies.
Yeah.
Josh Jackson never said, hey, smell my finger to James Vanderbeek.
He never said that. And if that was a CW show now, of course they're doing that on Riverdale.
Of course. They have to be. They get canceled if they don't.
They would.
So Wet Fingies, by the way.
Wet Fingies, because it's like gross, but also adorable.
Yeah, God.
It's the worst name for your dog ever.
Remember when just fingering anybody?
Wet Fingies?
Yo. He never comes.
Yeah.
Remember when just hearing about somebody fingering somebody was, man or woman, was so daunting and just like, whoa, like, to me, that was almost like cooler and a bigger deal than sex. I was like, because I didn't know like how they stacked up against each other.
Yeah.
Mm. We're talking fourth grade, by the way, for me.
Okay.
A kid who told everyone that his dad invented Little Caesars also told us he was fingering chicks.
Oh, what a terrible brag. Like, even if you found out was true, you wouldn't be impressed by that.
Well, we're talking circa 93 when Little Caesars was the circle of trust.
You know he's lying because Little Caesars was created in Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah. Did you know that prior to
a couple
years ago?
I found that out literally last week because they did a real sports thing on the billionaire family that started Little Caesars.
Yeah.
And is now draining money from the city of Detroit because Detroit wasn't getting taken on the chin enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now they got the fucking pizza
now
family.
Now they got
fucking
the Little
over.
Caesars. And it's all about, pizza's all about water if you learn anything from New York. And Little Caesars gets all their water from Flint.
Okay, so this drama was centered around what? A family?
No, like high school students. I was playing a hard 18. I was 27, about to turn 28 at the time. And
okay, so you were the Luke Perry of the cast.
And then my girlfriend on the show is a legit new 18.
Whoa.
So right next to her, baby, do I look a hard 28?
Now, are there any scenes where you're like, where you have to do anything physical, where you're like, oh,
yes.
God.
Yeah, so here's why the casting's bad. I play the bad boy in the show.
Yeah.
I mean,
when
you've seen
my
act.
I mean, when
bad
I look
guy,
at you.
What's this new gumball flavor we got going on?
I don't know. You're
portrayal of a basement rapper in Father of the Year is one of my favorite performances I've seen in a good minute, man.
Thank you.
Oh, I was so taken aback by how good you were.
Thank you.
Yeah, dude.
It was very fun. It was such low stakes. Craft service was a Fiber One bar.
For
and
sure.
That's it. And,
dude, when you can scene steal in a funny movie, dude, come on, home run. It was just that one big scene, right?
Yeah, well, we shot over 3 days, but there's like I let them in. There's like a scene outside where he takes the drugs.
For
but
sure.
Essentially, it was just
but
that
downstairs, like everything in that basement is like home run city, dude.
Oh yeah, that's what got me out the audition.
Yeah,
just literally gasping for air.
Rap. Brad, you got to see this.
I will have to now.
It's the Spade, Nat Faxon, Tyler Spindell Netflix comedy under Happy Madison banner.
Okay,
featuring One Moses Storm.
Well, yeah, anything
banner.
Anything right. Spade and Tyler, I'm in.
Yeah,
yeah.
So once I saw that, now I can buy into the bad boy. But also now we're talking, what, 10 years ago when you did the Utah drama?
No, I mean, it's like 2018 it came out.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's okay, so
but
even
it's
more
on YouTube Red, and that's great if you ever want a show that was also a secret.
oh, yeah, no YouTube was know. Even 10 years ago. How could, yeah.
No, it's YouTube Premium now, which is great because everyone thought it was like, oh, RedTube? You're doing a show on RedTube?
So right. funny.
Just porn?
Now, when you say right. everyone, who was the first people to be like, yeah, you're doing a show on RedTube, huh?
Oh, like
family
people,
members or like
I told, that's going to sound like a brag if I say that person's name, but yeah, I told an actor
your
that.
Your mom.
I told my mom that. It's like a brag.
Bro, yeah, talk to my dude, mom. You got a mom, pussy.
Yeah. Pretty tight.
Wait, you can't say?
No, it's not. I just like don't want to be that person. I was telling, I had maybe two lines, way less than you, on Arrested Development. And I told Michael Cera that, and he thought I said RedTube, because he's a little sweetie.
and then he went.
That's amazing.
And then he went to the people. Went. We cast a porn star.
Yeah.
In this thing. So if we could cut him out,
can we get him out?
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I definitely want to go back and watch some of the show. Does it hold? Does it?
Yeah, I think it's up. I think they put it up free now because it was canceled after one season, which hurts when YouTube cancels. When YouTube is like,
it's like you guys don't have a show anymore, but we made way for this woman who teaches you how to make paper dolls.
Yeah, and then she. Into the paper doll, and we just don't see where your show's going in a narrative direction.
We don't really see a season two, but
she calls them wet fingies.
Yeah.
So
she calls them wet fingies, and you know, it's just she has an arc, and we just don't see.
Right.
So yeah, I play a bad boy in the show, which is just a bunch of slow turning out of breath.
So funny.
Is that
really
is
high school drama acting?
Is that how you play
that's,
bad boy?
I watched it because they showed me a bunch of clips of like bad boys, and it's literally just like. Hey, it's that
dude. That's so that's funny.
And Brad. You go back, you watch all these shows. You can look up these clips from Dawson's Creek to now Riverdale.
Wow.
The bad boy will always get exhausted from just turning around.
Well, because he's spending all of his time, you know, sitting there being hot and cool,
right? Yeah. Just brooding.
Also,
just
turning so to much. Give you his attention. He's used to the attention coming to him.
Yes,
but like if he needs a turn. To assess or address anything, dude, you're taking a lot out of him.
Taking a lot. So then I had a lot of very physical scenes with an actual 18-year-old, and after were like, hey, we just don't really see like a chemistry with you guys. Maybe we, you know, don't be afraid to really go at it. And he's like makeout scenes. It's a child.
It's a child, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of, it's like 3 months away from being illegal.
Yeah, she's such a child that earlier in the day she said literally, quote, I think I might want to try hookah sometime. So I was like,
you know what,
that's
though?
A baby.
You know what, though? But see, here's how you know that you're a good person is that made you uncomfortable.
It registered. It wasn't.
Right. You weren't like, sweet.
It didn't turn on a kink in me.
Right. You're like, well.
Like, oh, well, I got a pipe and a small Israeli table. And a shit ton of water. Come back to my courtyard Marriott.
Yeah.
Which I lived in for 2 months. What's the longest you've been in a hotel?
Jeez. A week and a half.
Yeah, that's pretty long.
Yeah,
a month and a half.
Yeah, 2 months.
I lived in it long enough to go to Target and buy a cooler.
Like,
for spillover, you know, for one more drinks
like
than
you
just
do.
The one.
Do you get to know the staff?
I did get to know the staff because there's the Wise Guys. I would do that club out there.
Yeah.
It was the one club.
Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a whole thing where
there's something when you're going back to your hotel room for the third week.
Yes.
Where
you start to feel like maybe I do just live here now.
Yeah, for maybe sure. Maybe I need to call. Insane. I did things I would never do in a hotel. Not like, oh, this guy's jerking off like under the tub.
No.
How do you get the coffee?
I'm on top of the tub guy.
That was within the first 5 days.
That was first.
Yeah, because that's just like typical hotel room behavior.
No, I got like, just with all the downtime. Because you can't do sets every night.
No.
You can just do the drop-in sets at the club, and then you're in whatever scenes. I got a bunch of woodworking tools, like legit. What? Yeah. So
woodworking?
I had spray paint in my room.
Now, is this code for a new kind of jerking off that I haven't known about? Woodworking tools?
Woodworking tools. I had a power sander right on there. You grind it raw, baby. All those nerve endings are gone.
When you're in Utah and you got downtime, hobbies are going to find you.
Oh, yeah.
And woodworking is probably a top Utah hobby.
It absolutely is. I went to a Hobby Lobby and it was a very...
That's Bed Bath & Beyond's competition.
That is their number one store out there.
Wait, that's a like real store?
The town. Yes,
you know about Hobby Lobby?
Oh.
Don't you say it with so much disdain.
Light them up in the comments.
They had a huge court case like 3 years ago where the CEO is like...
jerking off with woodworking tools in front of staff
jerking
members.
Off into the woodworking tools. Yeah.
Wait, what is the top item at Hobby Lobby?
I mean,
oh, it's like a Michaels or a Joann Fabrics.
Yeah,
oh, okay. But it's like their version.
Yeah.
So between there and Lowe's, I would slowly get one thing. I'm like, oh, I need to fix that spray paint. Until one day I zoomed out, maybe, you know, a month in, I was like, holy shit. Spray paint cans everywhere, tarps down, wood chips.
Did you have like a moment where you step back and go, what have I become?
What have I become?
I'm a woodworking guy now.
Right. And I just made nothing but those True Detective little wood figurines all over the ground.
The
18. Yeah. She's 18.
The woodworker does seem like a really bad Nicolas Cage movie.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I'm a woodworker.
That's
my Nick Cage.
Have you seen my grandfather clock?
I made a canoe. it's just a bunch of Nick Cage.
Just breaks into a Hobby Lobby.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's a process because this is like the government's best Hobby Lobby.
Oh,
so he's that guy where they get, and he's been out of the game for years. He's like, I'll come back for one last job.
He's starting to sound like a guy who's auditioning to play Yogi Bear.
Yes,
but he's got smoker's
lung. Nick Cage as Yogi Bear.
Hey, Boo Boo.
I hear the role's open now. Sequel.
Hey, Boo Boo. Shut up.
Sequel picnic basket.
I mean,
or are you just happy to see me?
Wait, everyone would be like, who asked for this? Who said, you know what needs to be done?
Yeah.
I just told Brad I saw the Avengers movie, and I. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it, but I don't care about spoilers because I'll still enjoy it.
Okay. But well, I don't care about spoilers either. He loved it.
I loved it.
Did not.
No?
And I don't want to get into it because I don't want to get in your head about like...
Yeah, what's wrong
But I also heard so many people tell me they loved it, and I think that fucked with me a little bit.
Mm. Yeah, that does. Like, I remember when Inception came out and was like, oh my God, the most mind-blowing... Just, I'm not even going to say another word. Have my teeth. Just take my teeth. I don't want my teeth.
Take my teeth. If you don't like the movie, you're keeping my teeth.
Yeah. Yes, it was so dramatic. And I'm like... So once you go into it, you're like, all right, get ready to get your fucking dick sanded. And then it was just like a movie.
You learned a lot in Utah.
Inception. Right? This movie's so good, your dick will get sanded. Your friend will keep giving you his teeth. Wait, before we move on, I want to give everybody due there, because it's not every day we get to have a star of a Utah-based...
YouTube red
teen drama.
Not,
and that sentence is an acting warm-up. If you say that in any class, YouTube red Utah teen drama.
Not for 3 weeks have we had a lead from one of those shows.
But really?
Yeah.
But you told us that there was a special skill for the Bad Boys in which you played where you dramatically turned out of breath. Oh, yeah.
So
I want each of us teach us how to do it.
I played a bad boy in a show, and from Dawson's Creek to Riverdale now, the bad boy in every teen drama will do one move, and that is getting exhausted from just turning around.
Great. Okay.
So will you give me a line like, hey, Logan, why were you in class?
Logan, how come you weren't in class?
Hey. And then that's it.
All right.
There's no dialogue for that character. It just cuts to the next scene.
All right.
All right, give Brad a line.
Yeah. Cue me up.
So your parents are getting divorced.
Sure.
And you're trying to act like it's not a big deal. So I came out to your pool house.
Where slash I live.
Lake house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I'm your girl that you haven't seen in a while.
Okay. Okay.
Logan, we're all so worried about you.
Why?
That's exactly it. That's
you exactly fucking it. Nailed that.
Send that self-tape immediately.
We're going to call you back.
There's going to be a new Jughead next year on Riverdale, everybody.
Straight to call back.
Wait, I want to
didn't
do
think
one.
About there. Recasting it until now.
Here, I'll hold it for you.
Yeah, there you go. All right. He means the phone, listeners.
Yeah, not his penis. I only hold that on Tuesdays.
Or Passover.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So now for this one, you took the bullet for everyone at the basketball court and said the joint was yours. All right. So you've been moping in the gym and you're folding up those mats that are just made of sweat.
Because I got kicked out of school, right?
You're going to get kicked out. And your dad, who may or may not hit you, is on his way to pick you up.
Yeah, he hits me. So what? It makes me tougher. All right.
Logan, you didn't have to do that. You know you're going to Stanford next year.
Who cares?
Oh,
the extra
I
breath.
I started to laugh through that.
It was so long he had time to catch his breath.
Who cares? Or college ain't nothing but a thing.
Oh, that's good. Do you want to do a second take?
Could I do one more?
Yeah.
Boy, don't you hate? Have you ever, in your acting days, gone in for something and prepped for so many scenes and dialogue, and then they go, "So I know we gave you 15 scenes in 4 different languages. We're just gonna do the second one," and you go, "Oh, the shortest scene."
Yeah, where I have a line.
I farted on my Snickers Uncrustables. That's the one line. I had this whole crying scene.
Yeah, and I had it.
I get an arc that you're taking away from me.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, I did this whole thing for that show. D'Elia ended up getting it. And, you know, we always go out for the same thing.
For you?
For you. Yeah. I saw your name on there, right?
I mean, we have
You would have been great at that part, dude.
We have a support group that's called D'Elia Ended Up Getting It.
Yeah. D'Elia ended up getting
Although,
it.
Although, you know what? Although, you should be invited. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, that
last scene was like a whole monologue about how you had to, and so I was trying to really go there before, and then they were like, just scene one, and it's just the scene where you're just doing stand-up.
Yeah.
Bad sitcom stand-up bad TV writer stand-up.
Yeah, where you're getting tied up and all that.
Yeah.
And the last scene, yeah. And
but I didn't get to that part. She's like, oh, that's good. So she clearly was like from the get-go, like, done. No.
I forced my way into doing an extra scene one time, and they were not having it. And I was like really? Real adamant. This was about 3 years into like auditioning, and I was just like, again, it was like so much stuff. And I got so angry so quick that they were just like, and I could tell too, they were just like, you know, because I was interning at a casting office at the time, and I was like, oh, I know how this goes. If they're not feeling it, they just move along, baby. Yeah. And so I was like, no, I think I worked really hard on this one. I'd like to do it. And she goes, I'm good. And I go, I really would like to get this last scene. And she goes, ooh, it's not happening. And just straight up was like, yo, dickhead, quit trying to force your way into some extra scenes.
We have 9 other guys that look like Adam Ray walking in here right now.
That are way more famous and have been on a...
multiple episodes of
YouTube drama.
Not just one.
Credit.
Oh, boy.
So getting brought up to my According to Jim credit.
Dude, I got brought up to that for so long.
Did you really?
And guess what? You know, and every now and then...
I feel like you're too young to be on that show. That show was on when I remember that. Being
2007
like,
was the last... season.
Oh.
And I take credit for part of the cancellation.
That's pretty
that's now your new credit.
Dude, my opener still brings me up to that sometimes when he does the intro, and I'm like, dude, what a great... His buddy, I remember...
Mencia?
Hilarious.
Did you get that?
Oh.
I brought up James Adomian to that.
Sure. I mean, yeah.
He asked for it.
And when that show was like the show on Comedy Central.
My favorite part is when I'm doing morning radio, and you could tell that whoever's doing it has not... taken 15 seconds to look at my bio,
right?
Because all he does is goes, you know him from the mind of Mincy. I'm like, no, they don't.
Whoa.
No, they don't. No, they don't know me from the show.
You might as well say you know him from Hot Topic.
Yeah,
in high school.
Probably more people do.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, like, from this radio station, but I guess
me from the show that got canceled 8 years ago, of which I was the third player.
The third lead player, and it had some controversy around it.
Not great.
Right.
Done other shit.
But I guess the Venn diagram of people that watch My Dementia and still listen to radio.
Yes.
I guess it's because how many times are you in these cities and it's like 6 a.m. You're like, what are the odds this person's going to come to the 10 p.m. show if they're up now thinking about their day?
I was going to ask you that because you're doing the road more.
Yeah.
A, do you like it? B, how do you handle the press? B, what's your routine? Because that to me was the toughest part when I started headlining was, you know, finding that rhythm and rhyme to the hour, finding a way to fill my time, mm-hmm. and then getting a routine so that I was like, you know,
not going insane.
Yeah. Not just, going hard on a Thursday and then sleeping all day on a Saturday, like trying to get some sort of a consistent.
You fly in Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes Wednesday.
Most times.
Just at Acme, Minnesota, I flew in Tuesday cause it was a Tuesday through Saturday.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Ooh. I don't know why those clubs are doing.
They
got to
stop doing that, man.
Like,
that's not right.
It's like, why? We don't need a week of me for anything.
No,
we're done.
You can't be making that much more money.
Yeah,
sell it out. Get some excitement around it. Don't be like, oh, we got, you know, mostly full shows.
Yeah.
You can come on Tuesday or Saturday early show. Same number of people.
You're it's like, long. Oh. You like you start to get woodworking to it. I do like.
Yeah,
it. I do like it a lot. Like I've been home now for 2 weeks. And I'm like, ugh. You start to get antsy
about
get back out there.
Absolutely.
I do like it, but something very weird happened. I was at the Funny Bone in Des Moines.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I was on stage, maybe like 40 minutes in, do about an hour five, maybe. Yeah.
And that's great.
Hating them.
First and foremost, right?
Looking out to the crowd, they're laughing, going well, but then hating them. And that was a very, like, whoa. It shook me.
Yeah.
And do you have any reason to, or just you're here in Des Moines watching me? What's wrong with you?
I was getting over getting sick. It was a very depressing town that's like mostly like Ulta and Best Buys. Like that's it.
Yeah,
yeah. It's that same strip mall that every Funny Bone's
right.
In. Yeah,
it's that same like partnership. And then just I didn't have anything new to work on. That's another thing that can get you really frustrated.
Then you're just going through the motions.
It's just like, I know what's next. I know what the laugh is. So it's like, you're not even, because usually you don't mind saying stuff you've said 1,000 times because you're supporting, hopefully, a new chunk you're writing.
Yeah, and you're excited for the new bit that you're trying, or you tried a new bit and it worked. And so you're like, so now you're like, oh my God, I can't wait to go back to the hotel so I can write more about this. Yeah, all that.
Right. This was just like the same. I didn't or anything I tried to throw in never worked. My opener and my feature did not do great.
That doesn't
I won't
help.
Put them on blast and say they bombed, but you know, we were not a good match for like the people that come out to see me are not gonna come out to see a 55-year-old black guy who says like, I don't understand Me Too. Why is the name so sexy? Me Too.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's the worst take ever.
The name
Me
isn't
Too
sexy?
Sounds like
And then that was the first time I asked someone, hey, like, could you not do a joke? Because usually never like, hey, don't talk about dating, don't talk about life, don't talk about emotions.
You know, like, I'm talking about woodworking in a hotel room. I got a large chunk on
Utah
that.
Teen dramas
that hasn't
are
come
out.
Up yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, do not talk about YouTube bread. Teen dramas.
And the sad part is that if you go to that comic and be
psycho.
Like, hey, man, can you not do your Me Too is it, that name is too sexy bit?
Yeah.
I mean,
you're assuming
it,
that's not there.
You're saying it because it's not doing well and it's making the audience uncomfortable. He hears it as... You can't follow it?
Yeah.
It's too good?
He's going to probably take this bit.
And
I'm doing the bit now, and it's probably my strongest closer.
But that's not the point.
You are a great writer, and I have to know something, because as I was doing research about you for this, stumbled across your
RedTube page.
Wikipedia page. Did you write your Wikipedia page? Because it's really funny.
No, I did not
really
write it, but a couple people have sent it to me.
Yeah. It's funny.
I don't know how people do that. Honestly, I've tried to like edit things that were wrong, and I still...
Like,
I don't know, I feel stupid.
Did you, according to your Wikipedia page, you lived in a converted Greyhound bus? Is that true?
Yes, that's true.
That is true.
Yes.
Okay.
You don't mean my Wikipedia page is fine. You just mean my actual life.
Wait, for real?
Yes. My parents started a unsuccessful cult. And
no way.
Yeah.
Called what?
So they had no name for it. They were going to call it The Way for a little bit, but then they found out that there was a way more successful cult called The Way.
And an even more successful song by the band Fastball.
Right. And that was really the tipping point for them.
It was a cult for Fastball fans.
Yeah. Ah, okay. When are they going to have another hit?
By the way, really quickly,
yeah.
And I want to play a quick little game I just made up called What's That Fastball Lyric That You Think Of
When
You
Think of Fastball. Immediately. So, first time I heard about this band.
If somebody said, hey, who's Fastball? What would you sing to jar their memory?
Where were they going without ever knowing the way?
Great. And I
That's what I would do.
Was I out of my head? Was I out of my mind? Like when I ever been so blind, I would make a bomb in the kitchen.
And
that's my Darius Rucker. Does.
Go, Fastball lyrics.
I know none of the things you just
say
said.
Say a Fastball lyric.
I know none of
those
the
are
things.
The only two songs.
Wow, I know none of the things you just said is a Fastball lyric. So
oh, wow.
And yeah, guess what? As the son of a Fastball cult family,
oh my God.
You would be disinvited to the meetings.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was part of the detox out of the cult. You know, it was wiping
the
all that
cult
stuff.
Detox.
So, yeah. What do you think went wrong with the cult, other than being a cult?
You got to be a charismatic cult leader. Like, I think any of us here could lead a cult without building ourselves up too much.
It's on my resume.
You have all the skills as a performer to entertain people for an hour. You have to be outgoing. You have to believe in your own opinion.
Yeah.
For stand up, and you have to obviously be comfortable public speaking. And you have to have a point of view, and they didn't have any of those.
Be cool with possibly murdering a lot of people.
Sure.
I mean, that helps.
Sure.
To be a cult leader, stealing money.
I mean, to have that, like oh, I want that craving for power is what it is.
Yeah. And were your parents too nice, or?
Not nice, just not good at it. We underestimate how, like, I watch these Netflix documentaries and listen to these podcasts about cults, and I'm legitimately impressed and jealous.
Yeah.
Like, what? They're doing these, like, cool sex parties. And
yeah, like, I watch Wild Wild Country on Netflix. I'm like, hey, they're going out in the middle of Oregon with a bunch of people and building their own town and having orgies every night.
You know,
not horrible.
That is so impressive. You know, how many times have you tried to get friends together for a birthday dinner? Let alone, hey, we're going to wear nothing but burgundy. Yeah. We're going to move to the worst part of Oregon.
Yeah. And you have to build your own house, but at least you get to have an orgy with some middle-aged lost women.
Right?
So that's my selling point. And they bought
broken people. So they were not good at it. There was two other families that were in it that they like helped start it. And we, for the first half of my life, till I was maybe 10, we got because there was just no money to buy a camper. They got a old Greyhound bus, ripped out the seats, and then made a very bad RV.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, did your parents believe the stuff that they were doing in this cult, or did they tell you, like, hey, we're just doing this to make money?
No. There was no money in it.
Okay.
We actively lost money, but they legitimately believed it.
And then was this a sect of Christianity, Mormonism?
Judaism mixed with Catholicism is the closest I would
say
from teaching.
That's literally two people that hate each other.
Right?
That's probably your first problem.
That was it.
All right, we got
Palestine involved.
Yeah.
The Palestine had the front of the bus.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. We did a mix of the KKK and the Black Panthers.
Black Panthers and saw what happened.
Yeah,
yeah. But that was like the teachings. But there was never any like strict curriculum.
Okay.
Because the idea was against any organized religion, any pastor, rabbi. There should be no middleman between you and God, essentially.
And so to advertise this message, they became the pastor.
They would point to that they're not, but then we would go to like a outside of a Rolling Stones concert or what would be a Coachella now, and we'd be out there with large neon signs yelling at people that they're going to hell.
Holy shit, you were those guys.
Yeah, we're hellfire because you have to eye catch. No one wants to do that. It's like a hack bit. It's like doing a self checkout bit.
Yeah,
but these new self checkouts, which is a real thing. My opener had in Des Moines. And I'm like, what do you mean new? In 2003, it's new. You seen these new self checkouts? I didn't know. What am I? Is 16-year-old is telling me how to check? Yeah. Are you my manager?
So this kid lived there. That might be, you know, that's his world, right? That's his bubble.
This 55-year-old kid. Yeah. there. Yeah, it might be new to Des Moines.
So
they started that. So we were big neon signs with just like, you're headed for hell. And then us kids, part of the interest catching was as young as possible, which was me, would go up to people and people would be like, oh, hey, little guy. And then they, and then I would go, you're headed for hell. Not really knowing what that sentence
meant. You're headed for hell.
Yeah.
Did anyone like argue with you and like yell at you?
Yeah. People were very upset.
Wow.
People would yell at my parents for allowing them to teach that to their children.
For sure.
There is literally nothing a heckler can do to you now.
No.
Because like, until you've been yelled at someone after you as a 7-year-old have told them that they're going to hell.
Yeah.
There, no one can say anything that shocks you at this point.
No.
That's amazing.
Right.
That's, oh my God. And then they'd yell at your parents, like, what are you doing to your kid?
What are you doing out here? Yeah. And they would yell at them for not having jobs or that we weren't in school. Like, I've never been to school in my life.
What?
Well, I went to 2 semesters of a special ed school.
Homeschooled then, or a version of
so
that?
So loose, like if the government's asking and we're trying to collect food stamps, absolutely, we're homeschooled.
Uh-huh.
But I maybe learned how to fully read maybe 3.5 years ago.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What? So very like, recent. Do you That's just insane. Do you just watch the History Channel and go, there was a civil war?
Yeah.
Like, are you just like,
I still haven't picked a side.
Yeah.
So don't spoil it for me.
Hey, guys, who's this O.J. Simpson?
Yeah. Wait. Oh, I definitely knew about O.J. For some reason, we weren't allowed to watch any TV, but I was allowed to watch the O.J. trial.
Sure. Well, you got to know how the
current events
system works. Like, and so, like, have you been in relationships with people where either friendships or romantic relationships where they bring up certain historical events and you're like, what's that? And they go, yeah, we had a president named John F. Kennedy that got assassinated.
Yeah, we're lucky that like a lot of people were stupid about that stuff when growing up, and now we have the internet, so you don't have to keep up with that stuff. Yeah, so
you can hide your stupid.
Oh, I think you could 100% survive today if you were born today, never having gone to school, just with tutorial videos.
I believe that.
Spell check on your phone.
Yeah.
The calculator that's constantly on you, that you would not need to go to school. You wouldn't be great. You'd have a terrible work ethic.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't have the principle to be like, I sit down from 8. Actually was just about to say a number, but I actually don't know how long kids go to school. So I guess to answer your question, there's a thing I don't know.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you feel like you missed out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In a huge way. And I think the biggest thing you miss out on is not who's the president. Civil War, what you miss out on is being around people that hate you. That's such a valuable skill.
And that's something that I feel that a lot of people are trying to take away. Mm-hmm. They're trying to take away the experience where you go to school and someone hates you.
Yeah, yeah, you suck is a powerful couple of words. Like, you need to, everybody needs to feel, do I suck?
Yeah,
well, maybe especially because
it's unavoidable. Until we get to a point in society where those people are unavoidable, you need to learn from a young age how to be around people that don't have unconditional love for you.
Yeah.
To cope, to deal.
Yeah, and how to get someone to like you that has no stake in the game.
Sure.
That does not have to like you.
Right.
Or how to just exist with someone that has a different opinion than you do.
Yeah.
Dude, when kids used to tell me, like, I fucked your mom, I used to, like, I didn't even know these kids, and I was just like, damn it. And I'd go home and be like, Mom, why are you fucking these random kids at the playground? She's like, what are you talking about? That's what they said.
Yeah.
Well, not everything people say is true. Oh, you know, light bulb moment.
You know? Slow turn to the camera. You saw
Yeah. Not everybody fucks your mom. Who says they did? Bing.
That's crazy.
So the older I get, the more that's what I realize is the greatest debit in knowledge is that stuff. And then I never felt weird until I was in like a romantic relationship with a girl. That's when it could start to feel like, I don't have these certain tools.
Well, just so you know, we all felt that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They never.
You always feel that when you're in a romantic relationship, and especially when you start. It's like, this is weird. I don't know if I'm capable of doing this.
Right.
Where do the comedy chops come from?
Yeah, where's
your first thing? Tension breaking, just because not like, it was not like a heroic moment at all. Like, I need to do that. That's just what I did to be like, I said something.
Yeah.
Don't look at me. It was a way of deflecting.
Gotcha.
Of like whatever was going on. So, and I think it's also chemicals that you're born with.
Yeah.
You could take the same person, give them that same trauma, and we have a great litmus test that what's five your, siblings.
Yeah.
What's and they're your, not yeah. in oh, it at all.
Really?
What's your first memory of like looking at something going like, oh, crap, that's funny? Like, do you have a first comedy memory or...
Or your family being like, man, Moses keeps saying a lot of funny shit at dinner.
Yeah, I remember just roasting my mom and her getting angry, and that felt really good. It felt like some power back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In any, like, cycle of abuse. It was like, oh, here's a way I can win.
And would siblings respond to that?
Yeah, because you're playing for their...
They're your audience. Sure.
Yeah. And then I remember I got her one time. I just remember, like, being in the back seat of whatever car we were in. And just, and her being like, she, it was such a good roast. I can't remember what the roast was, but she couldn't even get mad. It was such a good roast.
Nice. You're not that hot. Not even the kids who said they fucked Adam Ray's mom would fuck you.
And really foreshadowing that I knew about you.
Great line.
At that time.
And like, do you remember being exposed? Like, did one of your friends have like an Eddie Murphy record or something like that? That
early influences.
Holy shit!
So my brothers would secretly record like music on television. Like they would do music videos, which eventually was the late night shows. And then that's how I accidentally saw Conan when I was 11.
Oh, okay.
So then made my mom sign me up for this, and I told this to Conan on his show, that I made my mom sign me up for this homeschool program that sent you videotapes
That's
of
right.
classroom.
Yeah, I saw this. This was great.
And so then, because once I saw that first episode, I was like, I have to just, it wasn't like I wanted to do this. I was like, I just want to watch this.
Wow. Now, have you told Conan that his comedy saved you from a cult that your parents were in? Because I don't think you should.
Right? That would be very scary.
Yeah. That'd be a little crossing the line.
But, I was
he kind of literally did.
Yeah. Well, at least gave me a way out or a career path. Because by the time when you're 18, everyone's asking you like, hey, what are you going to do? You know?
Yeah.
I was like, well, I can barely read or write. I don't know any math. So that was the only thing that I could. There was no plan B ever.
Yeah.
That was all I could do.
And then this is when your family's in Michigan?
No, we were traveled around.
Oh, okay.
Spent way too much time in Florida.
I mean, I feel like that's the name of a sitcom.
Right?
Way too much time in Florida, yeah.
Yeah, we got the bus in Michigan, but then we're traveling maybe 2 months at a time.
And when you go out on your own, and when you come to L.A.?
When I was 18.
18, just, all right, I'm legal.
Yeah, well, deuces. I was like, couldn't wait till it was all legal, and I had was planning since I was like 16.
Wait, how long did you guys live in the Greyhound bus for?
10 years, and then my parents divorced, and then there was a trial with one of the other families. It was more notable. She had murdered her kids for this religion.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
So I'm glad you weren't in that one.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, what was it like living in the bus? And how converted was it?
What, the bus?
Yeah.
It was two people that have a communications degree and then half of a nursing degree if they tried to do like...
Wow.
Just remember when your dad was like, I'm going to build shelves in the garage, and like it didn't work out.
It didn't pan out. It was just like milk cartons.
Imagine that, but that's your house.
Holy shit.
Oh.
Pros and cons.
Yeah.
No, I want to hear pros and cons. Like, what did you
pros,
find?
Pros, it's prepped me for the life I have now.
Yep.
I look like a very boring white guy, but I feel like I have a lot to talk about, and it's given me an edge.
Sure.
Fuck yeah.
Of things.
You're almost supposed to be pros. Like, there's no hotel that is like, you're like, holy shit, you got
a sink and a
toilet?
Yeah.
Pros. You adapt pretty fast. I've become a little fancy prince boy.
Oh, yeah, dude. Fast, on the Conan tours, private jets.
Oh, my God. You know how hard that was to go back?
It's
to go
the
right
worst.
From there to then Magoobie's joke hole. I refuse to say joke house, it's a hole. Seeing at the Holiday Inn.
Yep.
Oh,
I
know. Where you're like, people, dude, literally I walk into that hotel and I go, either someone just got shot or someone's about to get stabbed.
Yeah, my toilet overflowed day one.
Yeah, of course. There was a burrito, half-eaten burrito, in my bed when I got
that for you.
You son of a
I was
bitch.
There the week before you. I always see you and Taylor Tomlinson, like, posters of the year.
I love that.
We always crisscross each other.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a terrible hotel.
I just did their podcast today. That is crazy that you even say that.
Yeah, well, we're all in, like, the same...
But today, like, what are the odds, though?
Of generals,
like, saw her 2 hours ago. Like, that's... What a crazy crossing.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's just madness that you can go from the lowest of the low to the highest of the high back to not the lowest of the low, but mid range.
Yeah, your human body adapts.
What were some of the lows on that bus that you remember that really like helped shape who you are right now?
I think physical and mental abuse is a pretty big low.
Sure.
Seeing people I care about physically abused is also the lowest low. So it wasn't like a comfort thing, because that's your whole reality is like, no, oh, that cabinet never works and the water comes out freezing. And
wow.
The toilet says it flushes, but it doesn't.
Jeez. So like, have you ever been in a relationship where the other person just goes, like, just says something like, ugh, Time Warner cable, so slow. And you're like, I lived in a fucking bus!
Yeah, well, that was honestly that was the hardest thing when I did start dating.
Yeah.
I didn't have a choice. It was just your body's like, hey, you need to put this somewhere. that I did, and I never felt connected to these girls because they would just, I felt like such this gap of life between the two of us. Like, I couldn't even.
Like, she's talking about, like, I wanted Sleeping Beauty for my princess party when I was a kid, and my mom got me Snow White, so obviously she doesn't love me.
Yeah.
And you're like, I can't.
I wanted the screaming to stop. The screaming would have been great to stop. Yeah, and that's actually how I got out of it. There was this girl I fell in love with when I was working at this grocery store. And then just hearing the things that I legitimately believed at the time. It definitely believed everything in that cult. Hearing it bounce off of her, she was like, what? And then I loved her, or at least what I thought love was at the time. And then it just didn't match up. And then that was the aha moment.
Wow. So it was having that outside perspective where you go like, but you know what? That's a testament to whatever, because you always assume that your normal is everyone's normal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you're talking about don't you hate it when your family is like driving you around in this converted bus and they're trying to get your cult together, but it's not exactly working out, but then they take it out on you, you and your siblings, and the person's like, No,
not at all. No, our butler drives our bus.
That's abuse.
Our butler drives our converted. Terrible fire hazard of a
non-fleshy
bus.
Non-fleshy.
Yeah. Sweet
Jesus.
What was the farthest you guys would, I mean, literally all over the country, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, they had these grand plans, but like, again, they weren't good at it.
Yeah.
So it was like very regional. It's like, hey, tour other places. Like, Ohio.
Don't oversaturate the market.
They're really oversaturating the market.
Yeah,
we're really doing what's the Acme model? Spending way too much time.
Yeah,
Wednesday to Sunday.
When you get out, do you immediately come to Los Angeles?
I count getting out as like being 16, still saying like, I believe all this shit, but then secretly going out and doing acid and trying to fuck people.
Yeah,
and like having like a life.
Yeah,
like a kid. So for me, it's like 16 is getting out, but then 18 is the first like physical.
Mm-hmm. And who were your friends back then?
Yeah.
It was everyone that works at the grocery store. And then everyone asked me like, hey, why don't you go to high school with us? And I'm like, the next question.
What else you got for ideas?
We can never come over to your house.
Yeah. Because it moved last night.
Right.
It moved. I worked at a grocery store too. That is some of my best and worst days were there. And mostly best, because the cast of characters that worked there were just top notch.
The people that stayed.
Oh, yeah. Dude, every quadrant of that store, the age range spans the gamut. I mean, you literally have kids your age, and then you got lifers in the service deli. You got a weird guy in the produce section.
Night crew?
Dude, the night managers, the stalkers.
Night crew was always like mole people. It was like actual, something would be off about them. Because your circadian rhythm is not meant to be eating and awake and active at that time.
For a guy that didn't go to school, the fact that you know the word circadian rhythm.
Yeah.
Well done. Because I just
Googling
thought,
it under my crotch.
Yeah. I just thought that was a weird genre of music.
Circadian rhythm?
Yeah. It's like world music.
Right.
Yeah, it sounds like
like music made for white women swaying in a grass.
Babe, this circadian rhythm CD at Target is cheaper than I think the one at Starbucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I was rebelling, tried to learn a lot of as much as I could.
Yeah,
obscure subjects and retain a lot of information.
You're doing a great job because, I mean, you're blending into society.
I hope so.
It like your life is a cheesy
80s sitcom, but without
how much of this stuff
without, you know, like, I mean? The laugh, like, yeah, a laugh. If you're a writer was going over the life, and this has come up in stand-up, I've tried to talk about it because it sounds great in a general meeting,
sure,
and then you try to go out there, we talk about how we used to eat from the garbage because we couldn't afford food, and people just go, oh
yeah,
we sometimes live in, yeah, San Diego, and that's sad,
yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you'll be able to.
They can't relate. They just judge.
Yeah. Really do that until like I got this advice one time when I started like really talking about my life growing up with dwarfism, where like you can do that because now they know you're okay. Like, they know you're okay with it. They know you're successful. You're
right,
headlining comedy clubs. So when the audience, I think, knows you're okay, like, oh, this is the guy we know from TV. He's fucking rich and famous. He's he's dating one of the Jenners.
Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce.
He went back and he got him.
Right? Yeah.
He went back for Moses.
So what was that? So what was that for you? What does that mean in real terms? Because I feel like other people could use this advice, because it is a very real problem that I'm trying to dip back into now. Like, maybe I revisit it now that I'm a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, it's just whenever you go into those dark parts of your life, whatever they are, the audience has to know that you're out of it. It's one of the reasons why we go see movies. About, like, we went to see the movie Apollo 13. Why? Yeah. We knew they made it.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Right. Spoiler alert.
Right.
But, you know, that's
Challenger bombed at the box office.
Yikes. Big
too in the air. Soon.
But yeah, like,
yeah, that makes sense.
They have to know that you're going to be okay.
Are you actively doing that, or is that something that they could just, that you feel they can sense for just the lighthearted way that you're doing it?
Yeah,
or
you can actively do it. Just your general attitude about it. Like, guys, I'm fine. And there's been times when I've kind of had a bad day, and then I took that up on stage, and I realized that the audience was like, oh, he's not okay with this. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I'm fine. I just, you know, I got dumped earlier today, or I was stuck in traffic, or like, that's why I'm mad, not because of the dwarfism.
Yeah. Let's be clear. Yeah. The fact that you think I'm angry about that.
Yeah, no, it's
fuck you.
It's perfectly fine. Yeah, but once the audience knows, like, oh, okay, he's cool with it, or this has a happy ending,
and they can enjoy it.
Yeah, then they're able to laugh at it.
So. How much you try to bring this into your Up and Up show?
That's hard because you're a host. So you can't take a dip like that. If you're hosting, your number one job is to say people's names right. Two is to not be a drunk asshole. Mm-hmm. And then three is to keep the energy up.
Yeah.
And that's got me very far. And you need to do that as a host.
The Up and Up show happens how often?
Once a month.
Looks like one of the most popular shows in LA from everything I see. And I've heard about it. And Dynasty is a hot room.
Yeah.
And you need to follow Moses to go see the show. Your lineups are dope.
Seems like I have nothing
Coney
to do with
Coco
that.
Is coming by all the time.
Yes. It's all Conan people that are booking those people.
It's awesome.
People are like, how'd you get this? How do you know them? And I'm like, I don't. And you know how painful it is to book anything.
Yeah.
It's like, it's tough to ask. But luckily, it's all the people that have been doing it for 20 plus years.
And the show is, Flula comes out first? Is that kind of?
Yeah, to like warm up with the crowd. Yeah. And then he's off to the side, and he's like a very good sidekick.
That's awesome.
Mm. Yeah.
That's great.
And it's stand-up and interviews, yeah?
Stand-up and interviews, yeah.
And it's cool because it's giving you a host's skill set.
Yeah.
So you can take that skill set to other places.
Do you enjoy
it? Very helpful with that of like how to interview people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, what's...
Yeah, great interview advice he gave me was you got to talk to a lot of people you're not interested in or that are going to be mean to you for whatever reason, whatever they're bringing in. It's your job to genuinely find at least one thing you are interested in.
Yeah.
And just keep talking about that.
So just focus on the thing that makes you happy or that keeps you engaged.
Yeah, that keeps you engaged. Because if you're too fake and, you know, not to... Jimmy Fallon's an extreme example. He's a very, very nice person. But you could tell sometimes through it, just because he hasn't been doing it that long, that it's like, oh, he doesn't really like this person. He's just over-laughing at this person that you could almost feel condescended to.
Instead of just hitting home on maybe that one thing. And when you do that, other topics or tangents could bleed out of that because you're... you know, so invested in that one thing, right?
Yeah.
And you watch Conan or even Rogan, he'll legitimately find a thing that's just interested him.
Yeah.
And that's way more interesting and dynamic of an interview.
Whether it be
David Letterman never being impressed by stuff that didn't impress him.
Yeah.
You know, like just if you said something like, and I'm doing this, he'd be like, I don't
care. Yeah, I don't care about any of that. Yeah.
And I don't think my audience does either, so let's move on.
Move on.
Did you throw yourself a birthday party at a Chili's at LAX?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, these Wikipedia things are just straight up facts. So in 2014, everyone was having these like very elaborate birthday parties mm-hmm. that were like, I barely like you, let alone am I going to go with it to like a roller rink and dress up 80s. And might stop by.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my idea was to have essentially the most difficult birthday to come to,
mm-hmm.
all under the umbrella of like, it's the most exclusive birthday.
Yeah.
So what's more exclusive than the Chili's to go located at the LAX airport beyond security. This was before it closed.
So you had to...
Did you buy a ticket?
I bought a ticket for myself and then my camera guy / director, Aiden Fonghiser. I made a Facebook invite. Everyone thought it was a bit. We had like 172 people confirmed. We're like, oh, mm-hmm. this is great.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
People were sharing just the, like, you know, as a bit. This is like no one was doing
right.
Facebook bits. Yeah. that's such a dated sentence. This is just Facebook one.
Yeah. Yeah. This is back when you were writing self-checkout bits.
Yes. Yeah.
That were relevant.
These were new.
Yeah.
These were actually new then.
Yeah.
So then I bought a ticket to be like, I don't know what's going to happen. And no one showed up, but what became the video that's now online
mm-hmm.
is the people that were actually there.
Okay.
They really rallied around me and tried to make a good birthday party. And I was like crying in there. It was, it was a thing.
Now, did you have birthday? Like, I don't know the religion stuff growing up. Did you have birthday parties?
Any bus birthdays?
Yeah.
You had a lot of bus birthdays.
Were you guys
very
like,
sad bus birthdays and just like.
You guys at the rest stop.
Yeah.
Hey, happy 40th. You're like, nope, not the. Not the right age.
No, not at all. There's things that I think back on that I thought were like really special, but now I'm just like, oh, this is like out of a Dickens novel. It's so sad. Like we would go to a Marie calendar and whoever birthday it was. Yeah. There's seven of us. Seven of us sit down at a table.
Okay.
No one orders food because we can't afford it.
Oh, yeah.
The one birthday person orders a single slice of cornbread and or cake or whatever the thing was. And then everyone else is like, no, I'm not hungry when the server asks.
Oh,
and then we all
man.
Just watch them eat that one slice of cake.
And are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
And in my head, that was like, oh, this is like a really special thing. Watch me eat the cake. But now I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, dude.
That
perspective.
No shit.
So yeah, you're just, I mean, in that moment, you're just happy for the one person who gets the food and you just smell it. Or
the humiliating thing is just the waiter's sadness because the waiter
immediately knows what's
going on. And they're like, because they would try to, then would bring us free food. And I always thought it was like, oh, it was like a birthday, right? Yeah.
But then the waiter always like, hooked it up, huh?
It was rare. It was like maybe 3 out of the all times that a waiter would hook it up.
Would they hook it up like hook style where it was like, you know, a smorgasbord of tasty treats?
It was just like more slices of cake or like worse is just like a healthy meal. Of
garden salad.
And you're like, right, you kale because you're probably going to need this.
And pity is probably my least favorite feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you get that, too. People condescend to you.
Yeah,
like, that was my least favorite thing about special ed is the way they would talk to you.
Yeah, and it's because, and that's why I always tell people, like, I have this whole bit about, like, I love making fun of people that have disabilities. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people get uncomfortable, and it's like, if you get uncomfortable, it's because you don't have a disability.
Yeah, everything
if
worked out.
Then you're laughing hilariously because... Not because people, whether you have a disability, whether you're in a cult, some sort of physical or emotional abuse, no one likes to be talked to like, oh my God, that's so,
like you're a victim.
That's so sad.
Right.
And that's why it's so mind boggling to me that you have people that aren't going through necessarily hardships, like, trying to be victims, like trying to look for that spot in their life where they, I mean, like, I have celiac disease, so I can't eat gluten, so I struggle with this on daily. Right. But I'm like, shut the fuck up,
right?
Shut up, just stop. Why? Right. Why are you trying to be this thing that everyone who is this thing is trying so hard not to be?
Right.
I don't get that at all whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's very, it's insanely frustrating when I see two people who are like full on disabilities in wheelchairs, they get on the plane and then someone walks on like, and then this is my emotional support dog. Uh-huh. Go fuck yourself.
Yes. I will argue that point about the celiac disease thing. Well, my sister's got that and a handful of food things that are pretty gnarly. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's not comparable to, you know, a serious disability, but
sure,
it is down to the point to where.
Right, but it's not like people that are in wheelchairs are just eating too much pizza dough. Just well, stop eating that.
Have
thing.
You gone to wheelchair.com recently? It's all them in front of
your
pizzerias.
Legs all jacked up. Yeah. I love Little Caesars, world's worst pizza.
And by the way, I wasn't even talking about people who legit have celiac
right.
disease.
People that get a little funny feeling when
they have. Like, of course.
Because I got stomach issues.
You're saying the fakers,
so
right?
Up.
The ones.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I have bread. It makes my tummy feel funny.
Yeah, I get food poisoning three times a year.
Yeah.
Really?
What? Oh, man, I got real bad in Mexico.
That's everyone.
Yeah. But like looking back now, it's like, what an idiot. Because I had nothing but bottled water. I was like, I'm not going to let this happen.
Food poisoning. Now, was it like a taco truck, or did you like blow a donkey?
Way worse. So I had to tell, like, it got so bad I had to leave my doctor and go to like a Beverly Hills gastroenterologist.
Whoa,
to be like, we need to get to the bottom of this. I've been sick for 2 months. So then I had to unpack the story, and I felt like such an idiot because what happened is we're at this island off of Tulum. So it's called Hallbox. You know, it's very poor on one side, and the other side's a beach community.
Yeah.
Everything should be safe. We're at this beach club. We order ceviche, and the guy's like, "Oh, I only have shrimp ceviche." And my girlfriend's fluent in Spanish, so she is talking to him. And I'm like, "Oh, we really wanted fish." And then he comes back 10 minutes later, and he goes, "Oh, I think I found some fish."
Oh,
which is okay.
No,
Jesus
Christ! I think I. Where the fuck did he just the bathroom?
I found fish. And by the way, this isn't even. And also, it's ceviche,
which is raw fish. Oh, it's cooked in lime juice, so it's not cooked at all.
Yes.
And then the gastroenterologist was like, "Okay, so," and he's already trying not to laugh. This
right.
is like a very
like, how dumb were you?
Everything does not add up.
And this is the sentence where he starts fully laughing in my face, like out loud. He goes, and by the way, we leave the office. He goes, he's like wiping tears. He goes, "Oh, thank you for that. I needed that." And he gives me a cup to shit in.
God.
But so
thank
he was
you
like,
for that. Now
he was like, "Okay,
gone.
He found some fish. That's not good." Yeah. And he goes, "Well, did you get a look at the kitchen? Like, what did the kitchen look like?"
Right,
and I was like, "Oh no, I didn't get to see the kitchen because he left on a bike."
Oh God, he didn't even work there.
He did not. So he's like, "Wait, so the kitchen was so gnarly that it was off site?" And I was like, "Yeah, I didn't see it." And he goes, "Okay, so what was the turnover time? Was it some cases it's been like an hour later, or was it later that night, or was it the next day you're not feeling well?" I was like, "Oh no, I got into the golf cart to go back to the hotel, and I immediately started throwing up and shitting 15 minutes in." That's how gnarly this was.
Good Lord.
You had all of
he got
dude, I'm so sorry.
On the side of the road looking into tourist eyes. And shit is leaving your hole. And they're like, "That's not where that goes."
Yeah. That's
and
madness.
I can't even zing him because I'm throwing up.
Yeah. Oh man. Now
he's laughing his way out. He found some fish and left on a
found
bike.
Can we find
fish.
This guy on Facebook?
The rickiest bike. A bike
and
he wouldn't steal.
And you know, as he's bringing it to you, he's like, "I can't believe this shit's working."
By the way, I think I found some fish is his, like, "Don't have a cow, man." Like, I can't.
Right.
Like, that's, he's definitely said that before.
Yes, absolutely.
Your story is incredible, man. Just the fact that where you came from, where you are now. And I'm
and
sure
where you're going.
I
hope so. I would. Yeah. I have to zoom out and be like, "Oh yeah, I would be so proud of myself if I was just where I was now."
You have to. It's probably
so many things I want to do that I get lost. Well,
what are the reasons for not like taking a second to look back? Because you don't want to highlight those times, or because you're just like so pressed to move forward?
I just have ambition, not for like a thing, just like things I want to experience and do. And it takes so much time. Mm-hmm. You guys are both successful. Tell me if you ever get this. Every time you get something good, like maybe a pilot or a new show.
Mm-hmm. Which you just did. Congrats.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, well, okay, so when that happened, right, is the NBC pilot's a very big thing.
Called Sunnyside.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got a couple times people go, wow, congratulations, you have been working for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So you deserve this because you've been working so hard for a long time. And the way that we sensitively interpret that is like, you've been failing for a long time.
Yeah.
Sometimes it'll throw you a bone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So your question is what? How?
Have you gotten that? Or do you unpack
for sure
compliments? And people are like, you're physical, Adam. You're funny. Your voice is like, oh, so not my writing.
Yeah. Got yeah, it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I definitely think when I hear the, boy, you just been grinding forever.
Yeah, I hate that.
That I go, yeah, I been grinding for, yeah, it's been a lot of hours, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. But then it's also, I meet that with like, but it hasn't been that long comparatively to like some of the other stories I've heard of or some of the other people that are out there.
I've been reaching out on GoFundMe every 6 months. Like, hey, guys, I can't pay my water.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've been booking YouTube Red teen dramas, goddammit.
Do you think people are deserved of things if they've been working for a long time, or do you think that it's not, just
you don't deserve anything? No one deserves anything. Yeah. No, mm-hmm. you increase your odds. It's a luck game, and if you're around a lot, is half of it.
I think that's a big part of it. I think it's don't be a piece of shit.
Oh yeah,
stick around. Be consistent.
Absolutely.
And deliver.
You need to be working hard, and then eventually everyone that's more talented than you will be too busy to have your job, and then you'll get a cool job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, I always look at it because people like us have a certain skill set, which is stand-up comedy. And to me, that's something to where there is no gatekeeper.
Yeah.
That like, if you go on stage and you make people laugh, that is undeniable. You cannot say you're not funny if you have a room full of people laughing at you. So to me, I always take solace in when I go out and pitch a project and it doesn't go, or I do an audition and I don't get that part. I go, okay, but that would have been just bonus.
Yeah.
I could always go back to stand-up where I'm in control. I can work hard. I can write a new joke. I can be funny.
Absolutely. And
then I'll be okay. But everything else is just bonus. So if I get it, great. If I don't, okay.
It's a bonus, and it's such a big ask what we're asking for. So to go back to that comment of like, you've been grinding so hard. My second thought after how could you think of a nicer compliment is, well, what did you think? Did you think you were going to come out here? Like, you know, people are like, I'm going to give myself 3 months, and if I don't make it as a viral star, I'm leaving back to Ohio. And it's like, what the
fuck? Did you read my high school yearbook?
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, somebody.
All caps over your face. How did you get the font over your picture?
I knew the guy yearbook.
Okay.
There is that thing where it's like, what do you think what was going to happen? Like, you don't just walk up to the vice president of show business and be like, hey, I'd like to be a star. And he goes, finally, we've been looking for someone who's wanted to be a star.
Yes. There's very few people that have like, overnight. Or there's other people that are just legitimately more talented than us. Mm-hmm. Their time is maybe a little bit shorter.
Yeah.
But everyone, on average, it is a good 10 or 15 years before they get anything that you would be proud of.
Yeah.
That is truly inspiring, though, man, to see you, your mindset stay so humbled and to go through all that and to not and to still just, you know, I don't know how big the fire was that was, you know, burning inside you to do this.
Well, according to the food poisoning, very large.
Very large.
There was a lot of
I think I found some fish. What did you sound like? Do you remember the accent or the voice?
I'm not doing that adds a to the voice. Story. I'm not doing an offensive Spanish accent. I'll save that for my audition for the one. I'm a bit of a I found some fish.
I'm just amazed. I would love to.
For people who think they can't do it, you know what I'm saying? Like
to see the circumstances that you came from and where you are now. It is something for other people to look at and be like, oh, well, I'm not coming from a bus and a cult family.
Right. So I've been to some school.
Yeah.
Interacted with other human beings before.
Sure.
Should be a problem hang out backstage.
Know who won the Civil War.
Right.
How much
is it not still going?
I mean,
I kind of started again.
Yeah, I kind of started again.
How much does Conan know of this whole story? You guys get on a personal level.
A little
like
bit.
Yeah.
He knows a good chunk of it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he knows a good chunk. Yeah.
Yeah,
we unpacked it at a dinner.
I love that.
He's got maybe one glass of white wine, and he is
He's beat red.
That's like, he's not, he doesn't get drunk, but that's like drunk for him because he's very straight laced, very like, don't impair yourself.
Really?
Stay
clean. Irish guy.
Yeah.
That doesn't have the tolerance.
I maybe it's now in age. I mean, I didn't know him when he was younger. Mm-hmm. When I just since got to know him, but he's very like, you know, he's never had pot before.
Wow.
Yeah.
It seems like a guy that'd be so much fun to smoke with.
Right?
Yeah.
He's also in his head a lot. And yeah. But it's like one of those people that's like, oh, it's paid off to be in your head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like you whatever think about you're everything.
Doing. Whatever you're doing, just
keep you got to know that. Sona?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's dope, right?
Great. I went
to college with her, yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, she's so nice. Yeah. And like, she's
keeps
almost
them together.
Not,
like.
Yeah, not even assisted. Like, they're like comedy partners.
Yeah.
Like, oh, here's the opposite of his personality.
Yeah.
Here's someone that's very loose and cool. And,
yeah.
Yeah, just easygoing.
How can people, where can they find you if someone wants to?
Everything's at Moses Storm. You could definitely look up this Wikipedia page, which we found out.
Yes.
You can follow me on GoFundMe to see mm-hmm. what hip replacements I'm donating to. But everything's at Moses Storm, but I essentially just use Instagram.
Great. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. And
if you're on Facebook, it's like, what are you doing?
I know, dude. It's about to be a thing of the past.
I mean, I still use it for like people that are like, hey, come on to Iowa next month.
Yeah,
you'll
for
post
sure.
it there, yep, but then I won't sure. interact with I those know. Comments.
Up and Up show every month.
Yes.
Check
Team
Coco
just, presents Up and Up.
Yeah. Follow yeah. you on Instagram for those.
Dynasty Typewriter.
There's nude pictures of you in Arizona.
What's that? Nude pictures of me in Arizona?
Okay, Brad.
Is that on
confidently
the
make
thing?
It weird before we close up.
I have that in my notes.
Oh, no.
You did say that with a question mark, like, will there be when you go to Arizona?
Well, that, wait, is there? Because I did have a nude photo in Arizona.
Yeah. That
is on there?
It sounds like the closing to a one-woman show.
Oh, but yeah, I did.
A nude
Circadian
photo.
Rhythm plays us out.
Wait, what is that doing there? Or is that a part two? You didn't really?
What? My girlfriend took a photo of
gotcha.
Me. I was like, hey, maybe don't do that.
Yeah.
And she's like her mom was a photojournalist. She's very cool. Well educated in cameras. And
all I can say is it's now my new default photo.
Oh
so,
my god! Wait,
go.
Is it up? This is legitimately scaring me because it's so.
Is Brad
specific.
Up or is the photo up?
Yeah,
is Brad? Are you yeah. up?
I mean, now that I'm looking at this nude photo of you in Arizona, no.
Oh my god!
It's not up. I think I saw it in a social media post that you made. Something about a nude picture of you in Arizona.
Oh my god, that's awful. Yeah. I gotta scrub
let
that.
Let you go attend to that.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Mose, thanks for doing this.
Thanks
you're
for
the
having
man.
Me.
This was super great.
This is fun.
See you when I see
we're
Taylor Tomlinson.
We're
going to
go down the street and go rip it at the yeah. Laugh Factory for 3 hours each. Bump everyone.
Bitching.
Go to Greenblatt's, eat just toast.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Man, what's up, dog? This is your pal Bugs Bunny. Say, I got a question for you. Do you know who has the head of Elmer Fudd and the body of Foghorn Leghorn? Why, that's Adam Ray and Brad Williams. Ain't I a stinker?